So grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There was no grace in the Old Testament. Now many Christians have believed that grace means the unmerited favor of God. In fact, the Amplified Bible even uses that as an amplification, which is totally wrong. It's not the Bible is wrong, the Amplified translation of it is wrong. Because that's what all Bible schools teach. I remember in one church in the United States, I was saying that grace is not the unmerited favor of God. And I explained it, as I will in a moment. And somebody came to me and said, "Brother Zach, you have with one sentence demolished what all the Bible schools are teaching." I said, "That's fine. But you need to hear the truth of God's word. Unmerited favor means I got a favor from God which I did not deserve. Is that grace? If that is grace, then all 6 billion people in the world get grace. Can you tell me one person in the world who gets a favor from God which he deserves? No. Can you tell me one person in the world who doesn't get any favor from God? They get health, they get money, they get a house to live in, they get sun, they get rain, they're getting favor from God, and they don't deserve it. Then they're all getting grace. That's a deception. Grace is not the unmerited favor of God. If you look at the Bible, there are two verses particularly that tell us what grace is, and I'll show them to you. One is Hebrews 4 in verse 12. Whenever people don't study the Bible, they get all these crazy definitions which become very popular and which are never found in Scripture. One of the things I decided 47 years ago when I started studying the Bible was that I would never believe what another person taught me unless I found it in the Bible, in spiritual matters, in Christian matters. And that has protected me from all these wrong definitions and wrong understandings and wrong doctrines all these years. And that's what I tell people myself. Don't believe what I say unless I can show it to you in the Scriptures. Some things I'll tell you openly is my opinion. But when it comes to grace, it's not my opinion. There's not a single verse in the Bible which says that God's grace is God's unmerited favor. In the King James Version, you find verses like, "Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord," in Genesis chapter 6. But you go to the NASB, which translates more accurately, "He found favor in the eyes of the Lord." A lot of people find favor in the eyes of the Lord. But that's not grace. Grace came only through Jesus Christ. Nobody had it in the Old Testament, not even John the Baptist. Because the Spirit of grace was poured out only on the day of Pentecost. How could people get it inside? So grace, Hebrews 4 and verse 16, is grace is something that, the last part of that verse, something that helps us in our time of need. That's why the Holy Spirit is called a helper. King James Version says comforter. NASB in John 14 says a helper. Jesus said, "I'll pray and I'll send you another helper." The helper gives us help. Or in other words, he gives us grace. Grace for what? To help me in my time of need. And here it's talking about temptation in verse 15. We have a high priest who was tempted in all things as we are, and he did not sin. Now let us go to the throne of grace so we also get the same help in our time of need. And I'll tell you what your time of need is when you're tempted. When you're tempted to lust, when you're tempted to get angry, when you're tempted to be bitter, when you're tempted to be jealous, when you're tempted to live for yourself, to do your own will, not to die to yourself. You're tempted. You know what you need? Grace. In the time of need. You won't get it unless you go to the throne of grace and ask for it. You don't have because you don't ask. It says, let us go boldly to the throne of grace where we receive mercy. Mercy is forgiveness for our past sins. Mercy and grace are not the same. A lot of Christians think they are the same. Mercy is an Old Testament word. They had plenty of it in the Old Testament. Forgiveness for our past sins. Grace is help for the future. Mercy relates to the past. Grace relates to the future. Mercy was there in the Old Covenant too. Grace only in the New Covenant. Grace is help to overcome my sinful nature. And mercy is forgiveness for the sins I've committed through my sinful nature in the past. Jesus never needed mercy because he never sinned. Did he need grace? He certainly did. People are shocked when they hear that. You mean Jesus needed grace? Well, if you think grace is unmerited favor, then of course he didn't need it. Because everything Jesus got from God was merited. But grace is not unmerited favor. And I'll show you from scripture how from birth to death Jesus got grace. It's because people don't read the Bible carefully that they are ignorant. They are so ignorant that when we preach from the Bible, they think we are preaching a wrong doctrine. One of the things that happened to me when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit was I got a new Bible. I got a new Testament. Not new in the sense that it was written by somebody else. The same Bible became living. My eyes got opened to see a lot of things which I never saw before. So here it is. Let me show you this. First of all, in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus was born, one of the first things written about him after he was born and he was dedicated in the temple is this. He came back from the temple, verse 39, Luke 2:39. This is when he was a baby. They returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth, Joseph and Mary. And the child Jesus, now read very carefully, this is the word of God, continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Which means he was under grace. If grace is upon me, it means I am under grace. And Romans 6:14 says, when you are under grace, sin will not have dominion over you. Why did sin not have dominion over Jesus? Because he was under grace. Luke 2 verse 40. This is when he was a child. All through his life. Now let's go to the time when he died. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews in chapter 2. The missing messages in Christendom. Hebrews chapter 2, it says here, in verse 9, we see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, that is Jesus, because of the suffering of death. The way in which Jesus was made lower than the angels is that he died. Angels don't die. So when Jesus died, he was brought to a position lower than angels who don't die. He's now crowned with glory and honor by the grace of God. He tasted death for us. How could he go to that death? By the grace of God. What did he have as a child? The grace of God. So from birth to death, the thing that helped Jesus all through his life was grace. So he never sinned, never disobeyed the Father even once. That's the meaning of Hebrews 4:15. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And we connect it with these other verses and we see that was because of grace. And therefore it says, let's go now, we can also go. Because he was like us. He was tempted like us. And he overcame by grace. Let us go to the throne of grace and say, God, my Father, give me the same grace that you gave to Jesus to overcome sin. Did Jesus overcome lust? Every single time. Did he overcome anger? Every single time. Except when it concerned the glory of God, there was no question of overcoming. That he had to be angry in the temple, etc. But when it concerned himself, never was he angry when people hurt him or called him names or anything. Because he had grace. He was never offended. You know, I'm amazed that so many believers get angry, get offended, and they just take it for granted. Oh, well, we're supposed to live like that. Why? Because they look at other believers around them who get offended, get angry, lust, and say that's normal. A lot of young people say, well, all young people do all these terrible things. They lust and they sin in so many ways, so I suppose I'm normal. You're not normal. Everybody's abnormal and you're abnormal like them. The normal Christian life is the way Jesus lived. And if you can say Jesus did that, that's normal. But if you lower the standard of normal to the standard of all the defeated Christians around you, that's all you'll ever have. If you run the race looking at all the Christians around you, you'll run a defeated life all your life. I decided as a young man, I will not look at all the defeated Christians around me. I've said to people in CFC, don't look at all the worldly sisters around you. Look at Jesus. Don't fashion your dress according to the dress fashions of all the worldly people. Don't criticize them. That's not your business. You're not to judge them, you're not to criticize them, and you're not to imitate them. You're to look at Jesus. That's the way you're going to keep yourself pure from the world. If you don't follow Jesus, you're going to be worldly, or you're going to be critical and judgmental. Both are wrong. Some people avoid worldliness, but they become judgmental. I'll tell you one thing. to be judgmental and critical is 1 million times worse than being worldly. And many people who judge and criticize others don't realize that. When you see somebody who's worldly and you criticize and judge that person, you are 1 million times worse than that person in God's eyes. I don't know whether you know that. At least you'll know it today. That's why I say I don't want to be worldly like that person, and I don't want to be judgmental of that person. That person lives before God. It's none of my business. Maybe they don't have light. God's given me light, so I will not be like that. Make Jesus your example. That is the normal Christian life. And he lived by the grace of God. And I want to live by the grace of God. I want to overcome temptation the way Jesus overcame.